Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induwa Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chidi. I'm reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 12, which says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." I'm going down to verse 19. "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now always Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in this flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of your faith." Paul was writing that scripture from a jail cell where he was imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And Paul's outlook on life is so interesting, because most of us in a jail cell, we'll be thinking, how could God forsake us? You know, we serve God so faithfully, and now God allowed us to end up in jail. Has God forsaken us? That will be how we think. That will be how we approach the situation. Paul is approaching it from an entirely different position. He noticed that everybody recognizes that he was imprisoned for Christ, and because of his imprisonment, many of the believers were becoming emboldened to preach the gospel. And he was saying, it's a good thing that they put me in prison, because now a lot of people are preaching the gospel. And his mindset was not what's in it for me, what's the best thing for me, but rather, what is the best thing for God's kingdom? Because he went on to say, honestly, if it was up to me, I would prefer to die and to be with Christ, because that is far better. But it is better for you if I remain alive a little while longer, even though I have to go through all these trials and suffering, because it will be better for your faith and for your spiritual growth. And that's how Paul approached life. His entire life, from the minute he got saved, was no longer about him. It was about the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So his suffering, he never saw it as God forsaking him, but rather something that God could use for the furtherance of the gospel. And we just read that in Philippians chapter 1. Paul saw the world so much differently from how we do. A few years ago, in the year 2014, during the Soccer World Cup, there was a match between the Netherlands and Costa Rica. And some of these names are difficult to pronounce, so I'll just refer to them as goalkeeper number one and goalkeeper number two. The Netherlands had a goalkeeper that they played with. He was obviously their best goalkeeper, but he was not very good at saving penalties. Their substitute goalkeeper, which I will call goalkeeper number two, was very good at saving penalties. So the match was going down, it was level, it's an extra time, heading towards penalty shootouts. And in the last minute of the game, the Netherlands coach made a decision that he was going to substitute the number one goalkeeper and bring in the substitute goalkeeper, goalkeeper number two. Because if the match went into penalty shootouts, the substitute goalkeeper would have given them a better chance to win the match. And as he made that substitution, goalkeeper number one walked off the field with his head down. He was so disappointed because he wanted to be the star, you know. He wanted to be the one who saved the penalties and won the match for his country. And as he walked out, he just kicked away one of the water bottles just to show how frustrated he was and how disappointed he was. And the match did end in extra time. It went into penalty shootouts, and the substitute goalkeeper saved three penalties, and he helped the Netherlands to win that match. Now, from the first goalkeeper's point of view, he was very disappointed that he got substituted and that he didn't get to play a part in helping the team win the match. If he were to zoom out and to look at it from a bigger perspective, from the coach's perspective, taking him off the field and bringing in the substitute goalkeeper was the best thing for the team. It may not have been the best thing for goalkeeper number one, but it was the best thing for the team. And that's how the coach has to think. The coach has to think what is good for the team, not what is good for any one individual player. And the same thing is true with our walk with Christ. God is the coach of this thing called the kingdom of God, and we are all players. And in order for the kingdom of God to progress and to do well, God cannot be focused on everybody's individual needs. He has to be focused on the overall kingdom of God. And Paul understood that. He understood that sometimes I need to get substituted. Sometimes I need to lose. I need to suffer. I need to go through trials. I need to end up in jail. And if God deems that that's what's needed for the kingdom of God to progress, then so be it. I accept God's decision. I accept God's wisdom. And that's how Paul approached life. His being imprisoned, you could call it his substitution, resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. It resulted in the strengthening of the faith of many of the believers in Christ. And that, in other words, you could say that Paul accomplished more in his imprisonment than in his life. The Bible says of Samson, he killed more people in his death than in his life. And sometimes we have to be substituted for the kingdom of God to prosper. We have to suffer. And that is how God sees it. It is not great for us, but that's how God sees it. And whenever we go through trials and sicknesses, you know, we go into this pity party, this kind of poor me mentality. Why, Lord? Why me, Lord? Not looking at the bigger picture. That God is thinking about the overall kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." God allows us to go through trials many times because he wants to purify us. He wants to straighten out things in us that need to be ironed out, things that are not right. So he allows us to go through trials so that he could purify us and yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that scripture says, no trial is nice. Nobody likes it. But it is something that God does for our good. And as we just read in Philippians chapter 1, sometimes your trials result in the encouragement for other people. Now let me read another scripture from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which says, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I want you to think about how powerful that is. How many times have you been going through a trial, whether it be a sickness or a family problem or whatever, and you listen to somebody else preach or testify how they went through a similar trial and how they held their faith in God and how God brought them out in the end, and how you were encouraged by that word? What do you think that person went through? When that person was going through that trial, do you think that one day that person would have known that their testimony would have been such a blessing to you or to somebody else? God, that's how God works. That's how our great coach works. That's how he manipulates things in his kingdom. Sometimes God will allow you to go through a trial, not because you've done anything wrong or because you've committed any sin, but because somebody else will go through that trial in a few years' time, and they will need to hear your testimony. They will probably go through a similar sickness to what you are going through, and they will need to hear your testimony. Either your testimony of how God healed you or how God gave you strength and faith to endure. That is how God works. God is our master coach. He doesn't make decisions based on what's good for every individual soldier, but what's best for the overall army. If you are sick, if you are suffering, keep praying, keep seeking God, keep crying out to Him. Don't give up. Don't give up. But at the same time, develop a kingdom mentality where you're not just thinking about yourself and your needs and me, me, me. You're thinking about the kingdom of God and how you could be a blessing to other people. Now let's go back to the Apostle Paul. He was in jail, in trials, he did nothing wrong. And instead of thinking God forsook him, he developed a kingdom perspective. And as a missionary, as an evangelist, as an apostle, Paul needed to be out there preaching the gospel, ministering to people, winning them to Christ, strengthening their faith. In jail, what was he going to do? So Paul realized he could not do anything in jail. So he took up a pen and paper and he started to write. Many of the great epistles of the New Testament were written while Paul was in jail, including Philippians, which we just read. They were written while he was in jail. And if Paul had never written these epistles, he would have preached until he died and he would have been forgotten. But now that Paul was in jail, the epistles that he wrote were circulated to the churches, they were preserved, they were reprinted, and now they are presented to us in the Bible or the Word of God, and now Christians in every generation could pick up the Bible, open to the book of Philippians, and find comfort, encouragement, strength, and faith for whatever trial they go through. There was no way Paul was going to live to be 2,000 years old, but here we are, 2,000 years later, reading the sermons that he wrote when he was in jail, and we are blessed and encouraged. That is a kingdom mentality. Paul realized that he was in jail and he couldn't preach, so he was going to make the devil regret he ever messed with him. And I encourage you to adopt that same approach. Whatever trial you're going through, whether the devil brought it, whatever, make the devil regret the day he ever tried to interfere with you. Ask God to give you a testimony from your trial that you could use to be a blessing to somebody else, and in so doing, be a blessing to the kingdom of God. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.